we talk, right now, as we speak, radiation levels in Fukushima are reaching new highs. This is true. And where is it going? Is it staying right there? No, you know the answer. You know it's coming here first. All across the United States, there's nowhere to hide, there's nowhere to go. And it's what? What is it doing when it gets here? It's accumulating in the soil, in the groundwater, in the air, in the vegetation, in the animals. And that includes us. Radiation levels in Fukushima reach new heights. This is yesterday. It's, let me read this. This is, it's important. And again, there's nobody else on radio doing this. Nobody. And some of you say, ah, Fukushima again. Yeah, but when your loved ones start coming down with cancer in a few years, you'll remember. We tried to tell you what to do, and you've got to go to that second banner at the top of the homepage. It's the only thing on the planet that is known to work against radiation. Biosuperfood, that's it. Little capsules of algae, the four most potent algaes on the planet. It's a product that will save your life. Certainly it'll extend it. It also builds your immune system up like very few other things can. That and Carnivora, to me, and Allicin C are the three most important things you can have at home. It is very disconcerting to learn that radiation levels inside the Fukushima No. 1 nuclear power plant, that's the destroyed one, are anything but safe. In fact, the scientists tasked with monitoring the situation declared these levels are deadly to biotic life. According to local newspapers, in fact, the water samples show 11 sieverts per hour, which is the highest level of radiation detected in water in the containment vessel so far. So, how is this happening? If you've been listening, you'll understand. Dana Durnford is with us now from BC. Hello, Dana. Welcome back.
Hi, Jeff. Thank you.
How are you?
Good. You know, it's...
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yoshi's off tonight. He's traveling again. And we'll get him back.
Yeah, I got some emails, so it's good.
Yeah. Look, to put this number into any kind of a perspective, 11 sieverts per hour, all right? 8 sieverts will undoubtedly result in death, regardless of any treatment plans. You're gone. You're done. The unit, Fukushima, designed to indicate the dose of radiation in a specific location, is a valuable indicator in determining how safe a location is. Right now, Fukushima Daiichi is a place everyone should avoid like the plague. Well, wait, you're saying. Well, that's not true. The Olympics are coming up. And they're going to put the softball venues right there, within spitting distance practically of the plant. You're right. The Fukushima Olympics of death. Slow death, but death. We have to rename all the major events before this Olympics gets here. They're not going to slow down. The denial in Japan is unbelievable. The findings I just mentioned are not entirely surprising. Earlier this year, an exploratory robot, as you may remember, malfunctioned and died after being sent into reactor number 2. At that time, the robot was allegedly exposed to high doses of radiation equal to 650 sieverts per hour. Remember, 8 will kill you right away. Keeping in mind how the previous radiation level in that reactor was just 73 sieverts, it is evident that something is changing. And not for the better. What caused it to go from 73 to 650? Dana, any guesses?
Yeah, so this stuff goes down and hits water. Water evaporates 1,200 foot per second and 1,200 cubic meters.
Comes right back up the hole.
Yeah. Now, water evaporates also, so that's kind of frightening when you talk about water with those numbers. 11 sievers, if you see it on your Geiger counter and you're trained, You run. You don't even take the Geiger counter with you. You just, like, it's instant. You don't even tell everybody around you. You just start running, man. It's like,
that's true.
It's too late anyway. If you walk past it, you die a few weeks later anyway. If you stay there for a few minutes, you're a done duck. And yeah, go ahead.
No, I don't. I don't understand. I mean, they can't. A robot, 650 sieverts, kills robots, all right? And they're supposedly indestructible. They build all kinds of shielding. They do the best they can. We have done to this planet an irreversible, irrefutable species-ending extinction event disaster. That's what we've done here. It's not going to go away. And I don't know what the people of Japan are thinking. I don't know what they're thinking. What are they thinking? Tokyo should be evacuated.
It's Gallo's laugh, folks. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Tokyo ought to be evacuated. We know that. It should have been evacuated.
It's naked out there now, Jeff, is why. I'm sorry, but whether they get it or not, they're going to get it this year. Trust me, because it's so silent.
Yeah.
I was at Wajesty Beach Lake, 10 miles to go, or 13 kilometers, rather, to go around it. They got a path right around it. But anyway, it's a very protected area. You're not even allowed out there with over a 9-horsepower boat or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But I was talking to an elderly couple comes there each year, and I said, well, how long have you guys been here? And they've been there for quite a while that morning, which was yesterday morning, and they've seen two insects, two mosquitoes, and they've seen one bird.
Did they? What did they say to you about that? Did you ask them? Have you seen any?
I stopped.
Uh-huh.
And asked them, because I'm doing a survey in that area.
Yeah.
So they've been there. I seen them fishing from across the lake when I was going around the lake, and anybody's wondering how what that means, like, because there's no glaciers, and so the last couple of years, there's no larvae surviving per se under the north. So you had 30,000 insects, there's only just 25 or 30 species survived that you would normally plagued on top of that by any of those species. I'm just burping that time. And so the ocean is so naked now, they're going to declare like mass. Whatever, stoppage right across North America, I guess, this spring. And so she's over. And so they got to come out and spin this one. And that's not going to work because.
Let me go back to the people. When you told them, first of all, you asked them. All right, then they told you.
I asked them, did they know what Fukushima had melted reactors? He kind of like hemmed a little tiny bit, but they were genuinely nice people.
Yeah.
And so it's a terrible subject to broach with anybody, but I wanted to know, and also they need to know, and they had no issues with that. And I said, look, you know, has anybody told you about Fukushima 3 melted reactors in Japan, and it only takes 3 days to get here? And I mean, they were generally concerned. They were very thoughtful in their questions, and they were worried immediately. And, you know, you feel just terrible telling these people. I said, look, you know, how come you're hearing it from me? That's the question you need to ask yourself. And then you're like, when you leave these people, they're going to go out there and they're going to look up their normal sources. They're going to see bananas, potato chips, and walking in the sunshine and getting on airplanes. Mm-hmm. And no matter where do you go, if you go in that normal circle, they're going to run in that endlessly. Mm-hmm. And so then everything I say gets ignored. But you can't ignore the fact you only seen two insects. Now, they were there the last couple of years in a row. And he said the last 2 years in particular, since 2013 actually, in particular, it's really started to like just literally just disappear. We were just talking about that. They said when you come along the corner.
Oh, really? The quiet forest.
Uh-huh. It's dead quiet. Like, and I seen, the most I seen there was probably 12 birds. Most of that was woodpeckers. And they got that tree all knocked up. They're the same woodpecker each time. You just happen to notice them.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm going through on an electric scooter, and so, you know, you miss things, right, when you do it that way.
Yeah.
For me, I have never seen an insect in all the trips I made around it this year so far, not a single one. And the last number of days is really nice temperatures, lots of sunshine, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, that's pretty frightening. And then the Pacific right now, 100 million salmon missing. The headlines you're reading is death, emblematic has been going on like this ever since. And so when people hear about all the running the water they're putting in tanks, this is what we were talking about I've talked about many times, is how this stuff is so, and they call it, like, we think we'll talk about it instead of radiological terms. We'll talk in heavy metal type terminology right. For a moment for everybody. And so what's going on is that this metal is man-made materials from uranium. Everything's made originally from the uranium-238. And so all the plutonium and americiums and neptunians and the thousands of isotopes and their daughters are all coming from the uranium after the chain reaction. It has to go through a chain reaction before that can happen. Now, the water they're storing on tanks, they got over 1,100 of these massive 1,000-ton tanks there. These are massive. And to put it into context, when they dumped 11,500 tons way back in the first year into the ocean, because they had found all this more intensively radioactive water, like Jeff was talking about at the beginning. But what does that mean, 11,500 tons? Well, if you put a ton in a pickup truck, a one-ton pickup truck, and then you put those pickup trucks bumper to bumper for 45 miles, and each one of them got 2,200 pounds of...
Per tank?
This is what it worked out for. No. This is what it worked out to dumped in the water back, dumped in the ocean originally from the tanks, because you found more higher radioactive material like you were talking about. So when you're finding seven sievers in water, this is so frightening that... Like, I can't articulate it here, but imagine 45-mile line of it, and that you can never walk across that line, because if you do, by the time you get to the other side, your organs would start to melt. Because that's what you're talking about with 11,500 tons and a ton in the back, 11,500 trucks. See, that's what seven sievers and eight sievers and nine sievers mean, Jeff.
Yeah,
is that stuff kills you instantly by melting your organs. That's how you die from that exposure, yeah.
Not so.
You need a visual,
They had to dump a lot of the
They dumped that in the ocean and put even higher radioactive material.
Now they got 650 sieverts, and they're going to probably start storing that.
See, they're pumping water over the reactor cores, allegedly, into the buildings, and then they have these wells drilled down around that little area wherever water pulls up. And they suck it out of those little wells that they where the water pulls up, and they put that in the tank.
I see.
And so this stuff is 7, 8, 9, 10 sievers. And so the stuff that's running into the ocean is 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 sievers. But what that really means is it's splitting the atoms. And so that's fission. And like when it runs into the ocean, it just continues to do that for almost, for our infinity.
Now remember there, TEPCO is admitting 300 tons a day, right?
That's their which is, of course... It's 4,500 tons a minute just to cool the reactor. 1,440 minutes a day, but they're emitting to 300 tons, which wouldn't cool any of the reactors for 15 seconds, And so it all
And just for the sake of fun, how long do they have to keep cooling these melted reactors?
Oh, minimum for thousands of years, Well, it could be for infinity. We don't know till the chain reaction stops. No one really. Well, apparently you can never. There's nothing on the planet that can sustain that kind of beating to go close enough to it and do anything with it. And we have nothing to contain it. Like you need just for the fallout, you need say 4 feet of dirt between you and the fallout to try to protect you from the gamma shine. And so when you're talking about big particles, big chunks rather, then 300 feet away. It's going to kill you. It's going to melt your organ. You're going to fall down.
Wow.
That's why you keep it in water, see?
Got
right?
it.
That's why it's stored. And then they put it in these big 120-ton sarcophagus, these massively thick, incredibly expensive sarcophagus for just these little tiny amounts each time to get that gap. And so when you're trying to get someone to go in and fix it and clean it up, how does that work, see?
Got
right, it doesn't, yeah. And so it can't be done. And can't be done means only that we are not trying. And so, like, if we took every university on the planet, we took every institution on the planet, like, say, if there was a meteorite coming at us, we would do that. And if we'd done that, then we could come up with a lot of solutions. I don't doubt it at all. But the whole planet would have to go to bat and go to work for that. we would have to pack our kids' lunches.
How many people, Dana, excuse me, how many people do you think are actively working on potential solutions for Fukushima? Any facet of the multitude of things that are going on there that are destroying the environment and the planet?
I don't think any. That's really, truly actually trying to do something. No.
You'd think, wouldn't you, that every university with a nuclear physics department would be have certainly set aside some grad students or postdocs to work on this? You'd think.
Like you can't take something in practice, see? So you can't take a robot and practice on 600 sievers? Hey, you take that 600 sievers, go put it over there in the corner so the robot can play with it. I mean, how does that work, right? And you can't walk around with this stuff because you kill everybody in the neighborhood as you're going along. So it's just like you can't transport it and do something with it. And that's why they're keeping it on the site in the big pools for decades at a time. Like the stuff we're actually, the hot right. stuff that's coming out of the reactor cores until they cool down enough to transfer. And that's only because they're pushing the limits. Like San Onofre and places like that, Indian Point, they got stuff in the ponds that have been there for 50 or 60 years. Still not in sarcophagus.
Correct.
Yeah. It's really something. See, that tells you everything about it. And so we truly need an emergency declared.
It's a world crisis. Worldwide crisis.
It is.
What it is. 100%. And it's not being talked about. We cannot survive this. There's so much water. We don't. TEPCO doesn't know. We don't know how much water is going into the Pacific every day, carrying how many sieverts? Per liter,
see,
we don't know.
They're concentrating on trying to stay on the site with the homeless and the destitute and the victims and the immigrants and everything else. And
right.
and so it's like the stuff that's in the tank, the tanks are not thick enough to stop the shine from coming through the tank. And not only that, the tanks are not designed. When the heavy metal goes in the tank, it sinks and settles to the bottom of the tank. And then if you get certain metals touching each other, you'll start up a chain reaction. All the other metals will be sucked in. And we've seen that happening at Hanford tanks, where the tanks chain reaction in the bottom of the tanks to burn a hole and disappear it on down into the earth. And, you know, we can go on about Hanford. But what's going on in Japan is, like, you got 5, 6, 7 reactors that were at the top of each building, so enormous amount of material. If not a lot more, it could have been up to 20 years of reactor cores up at the top of the buildings. And so 5 million pounds per building, it's
blown into smithereens.
And we got to deal with it. We got to. We can't just ignore it. We can't switch off. We can't walk away, and we can't turn our back. We can't pretend. And we right? So this is what – that was simple. That's straightforward. That's pretty easy. And that's what we were supposed to do. We're supposed to go to bat. We're supposed to go to battle. But, of course, the nuclear industry is a million corporations. That means they're all going to get black eyes in the morning from their wives and their children and their friends and their neighbors and their loved ones and everybody in the community, right? And that's never going to stop. And so then, you know, because the truth is going to be that damaging. It's that catastrophic. It's
right.
On their lives because their loved ones, everybody's so proud. Ah, my loved one works for the nuclear industry. Big shot nuclear executive, tell you what. And now they're going to find out that they're actually sociopaths. They're psycho. They're mass murdering, telling everybody's like a banana and potato chip from walking sunshine, getting on airplanes and climbing mountains for 70 years have led us to an empty well, and we're all gonna die of thirst, so to speak. And the moral and ethical thing now is to come out and walk up and cross their legs and swing back and forth and say, I told a lie. It's not like a banana and potato chip. And no one can do that because they're going to lose all this fame and all that fortune that they gathered up and status in the community. Their children, you know, are going to feel that blow, and their friends and families will too. And so their utter humiliation. See, it always goes back to that one. They can't come out and tell the truth because it's instantly going to reverberate around this planet, and then they're all going to end up on their backs at the one time. So to speak, with kicking and screaming and crying. I had to do it. I couldn't make a real living doing anything else. I'm useless chicken neck, and I couldn't find a real job, so I thought I'd kill everything. That's what personalities, that's what we're dealing with. Every single one that I found, every one that I called out, when you researched them, looked at them, they were the worst chick whining, sniveling chicken necks you can imagine.
Yeah.
They'd never hold a door open for a woman in their life. They've definitely abandoned every pet they've ever had,
uh-huh.
and they abused every relationship they've ever been in, and they've been nothing but a burden to everything on this planet since the day they were born. And that will never change, and they know it. That's the easy ride, and you just got to kill all and everything, and now their dream is coming true. I'll just stop because I won't if I don't.
Here's a little more. This article I was quoting from. Do not be mistaken in thinking the Fukushima radiation concerns are limited to that specific part of the world. Well, there's a profound statement. In March of 2017, that's last month, scientists claimed they found Fukushima radiation to be cesium-137 on the U.S. coast, which they did, yet they felt it posed no significant health risks. See, they always have to say that. They always have to throw that in there. It's the qualifier. It's the safety valve. This is quite an odd statement, says the article, considering how the radiation levels are alarmingly high in Fukushima. That said, U.S. scientists claim the radiation levels found near the U.S. coast are 1,000 times less than what a person is exposed to during an X-ray. See how they do it? While this latter part may sound normal, it is still a worrisome development. Radiation from Fukushima is spreading to all corners of the world. It has now been found, cesium-137, in every ocean on the planet. And there is seemingly no way to clean up the oceans anytime soon. Anytime soon? How about forever and ever? How are you going to clean an ocean the size of the Pacific? How are you going to clean an ocean planet, which is what we live on, a water world? How are you going to do that? Humans all over the world are ingesting small amounts of radiation without knowing it. Yes, and what does the radiation do? It compounds. It stays in the body. It doesn't go away. The only thing you can do to try to mitigate that is the biosuperfood. Proven at Chernobyl to help a lot. All right, hold on. We'll be right back with Dana Durnford in just a minute. This is interesting. The Japanese government is now allowing residents to return 6 years after the nuclear triple meltdown to towns that are awfully close to the power plant. Japan is set to welcome back residents after the nuclear power station disaster of 2011 deserted 70% of the entire area. 6 years after a massive earthquake and blah, blah, blah wrecked the plant, residents of the towns have been given permission to go back and urged to go back. Itate and the Yamakia district in the town of Kawamata, totaling 22,000 people, were all told they could go home Friday, with the exception of some no-go zones where radiation levels are still a bit too high, according to Nippon.com. Further evacuation orders were lifted for the town of Tomioka. On Saturday, residents took part in a candlelight vigil on Friday night in memory of those who died in the disaster, thought to be more than 8,000 people from that particular community. So far, the homecoming, however, has not been successful, as government officials had hoped it would be. Not many people are willing to go back. In fact, only 14% of the residents have returned to the areas that previously had their evacuation orders lifted. Nobody wants, they're too smart. The government's fiscal 2017 budget set aside 23 billion yen, 212 million, to restore the healthcare system, in other words, doctors, nurses, and so forth, and other essential facilities to encourage the return of the evacuees. So they put doctors back in there, clinics, hospitals, but nobody's going back. Okuma and Futaba, the two towns closest to the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant, are the only remaining municipalities still deemed as official difficult-to-return zones, Dana. Difficult-to-return. Here's the kicker now. The Fukushima nuclear disaster, which brought about the closure of all of Japan's 44 nuclear reactors, is said to be the world's second worst after the 1986 Chernobyl tragedy. How many times worse than Chernobyl is Fukushima, Dana? Have you ever seen that figure?
Yeah, I done the math on it. And it was 500,000 was the smallest number I ever came up with. And a couple of million was the most realistic number.
Yeah. Couple million times worse than Chernobyl.
Chernobyl, minimum. Yeah, for sure. And so, like, once again, everybody, I'll just very quickly, is that on top of each building was multiple reactor cores in Fukushima. The reactors were some of the biggest ones in the world. It was in Fukushima. And the one in Chernobyl was brand new, basically. And so it didn't have any inventory, you know, just that original inventory.
Right.
Whereas Fukushima had almost 40 years of fuel. Most of it was stored in the building. Each building.
Very clever. So, yeah.
You know, there was a radioactive forecast right away showed up over North America from the Norwegian Institute Air Research, and they produced quite a few models based upon the official venting. Of course, when you look at the pictures, there's no way to vent something that's not there. It was totally destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Blue as top. We've seen videos and footage of that. But the confirmation I have, just ridiculous amount of confirmation. So the lethal uranium-plutonium mixed oxide fuel, that was completely gone immediately. And I've been covering the WikiLeaks files for the last week and a half or so, or week of shows. And so once again, because that's acceptable documentation for a lot of mainstream media.
Right.
Where they won't touch E&E News, for instance, right? Or but they'll definitely look at the WikiLeaks. And so if you go into those files, those 11,000 files that showed up recently, it's easy to find enough to tell the story. Really shows the cover-up. Stratford was, oh my goodness, what Stratford? Their whole job, this private corporation's job, was to come in, take over the narrative. They had no experience, no nuclear scientists among them whatsoever. They're all getting a two-hour crash course. And their job was to bully everybody. It's really something, you know, that this a bunch of people took away our opportunity.
Uh-huh.
That's who done it to us, was these analyst groups like that. They took over the whole operation through the, you know, in tandem with the nuclear regulatory agencies. But they were working for shadow organizations, obviously, talking back to them with the information, and they were coming up with ways to deceive me and you and your friends and your family.
Right.
Right? They were constantly at it the whole time, and they were fighting with each other over who had the best way to deceive everybody. If we get a chance to look back, if someone was to tell the whole story and it got out there, the story would tell how everybody failed us, everybody that we put our fate, all the systems out there immediately done everything it could to kill us. Every one of them, all of our governments, all of our media, universities worked hand in hand with each other.
That is a very appropriate, arguable position to take.
Yeah.
It's just no denying it. Gosh.
I cover it all the time now. Right now, I just put out a video today, for instance, and in a 1 hour period, I got 170 thumbs down.
No kidding.
Yeah. And that's been pretty normal the last couple of
streams. Well, that's called denial. I'm sorry they don't want to know, but if they don't, they don't. It's free choice.
This was organized attacks, right? in a 1 hour period.
That's easy
period.
To do, sure.
And like, yeah, it stopped after 1 hour.
Uh-huh.
And I was recording everything as it happened, before it happened. I have all the numbers leading up to it and time frames. And then it goes off, and then he gave me a whole bunch of thumbs down. I'm recording it as long as it's happening, and then it stops.
Uh-huh.
And so now you got this record, this weird record, and I'll cover it in the moral stream, but it's really something, right? So that's meant to dissuade people from watching that material. Oh, it must be really bad. Everybody gave it a thumbs down. I'm not going to watch it. Only problem is, right, the way I do my shows it's just worth it for the ludicrousness that I get into all the time.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it is just pure fantasy where I'll go off and say foolish nonsense just to distract, to make fun of something so terrible, and then I'll get serious again. But, you know, it's meant to bring a little bit of a lightheartedness to the show, and that's hard to do. Like, I done it a little bit earlier here tonight where I'll get pretty goofy. If it's really bad news, I can get pretty goofy in the sense of, I think that's the only way you can tell the story, right? Only way anybody can listen to it. It's so gruesome.
Well, we have to, I don't want to say sugarcoat it, but we have to make it more palatable somehow.
Yeah, and I don't sugarcoat it.
No, never. No. We've got to make it somehow where people can take it in and assimilate it, though. And however we have to do that. I just don't understand how this Trump administration, obviously he's being overruled by the nuclear power industry, which is connected to the globalist elite. He's told what to do and what's not to do. That's the way the presidents are run in this country.
Well, you're going up against the military, for starters. You're looking at 29,000 rapes a year in the military. So there's a lot of really bad people going.
29,000 rapes a year in the American military now.
Right, each year. And then that's each other. So who knows what they're raping in the countries they're occupying. Millions.
Exactly, exactly.
And,
yeah.
And then you got 22 veterans committing suicide every day. And so that's 80,000 a decade or so. Then you got numbers, which are crazy numbers, right?
Yes, 5.5 million
rounds a month in Afghanistan and Iraq for 9 years. That's the troops, right? Not the Navy or the Air Force or something like that. There are other countries or coalitions.
Uh-huh.
But it's just the U.S. troops was firing 5.5 million rounds a month to get 10,000 bad guys. And so they never did, of course, but they did fire 5.5 million rounds a month for 9 years. So these are staggering numbers. And then people says, oh, no, there's no way there's a couple of million people dead. I said, well, he fired 5.5 million rounds a month for 9 years. There's probably a few extra ones out there that we didn't know about. But then, you know, 5 million orphans, millions missing, millions in refugee camps, millions unaccounted for. But they always seem to know where the Taliban, which town he went to. They go hit and blow
that's
it up.
The truth.
So, right?
Yeah.
They wrecked two countries.
Destroyed so a lot of people, them.
Totally. Level them. I mean, level them. 28 million people just in Iraq got leveled. And every facet, 6 million on the run, millions missing, millions unaccounted for on top of that, see? And so they could be dead easy because you're talking about 5.5 million rounds a month.
Correct.
And then you're talking about a bomb a minute, 1,440 minutes a day, the big ordnance, the big 155 millimeters with a 900-foot kill ratio. And, you know, like there's three football fields. And
that's three football fields. If a round goes off and you're 300 yards away, you're gone.
Yeah, everything inside that is turned into a projectile. And so all the buildings and shops and schools and houses in Afghanistan and Iraq were all plugged with depleted uranium munitions. The A-10 Warthog, it only shoots depleted uranium munitions left over.
Those are nuclear weapons, okay?
They're dirty bombs.
That's right.
Yeah, they're dirty bombs. And 80 to 90% of the children born in those areas are deformed, and they don't have anybody to love them or care for them.
No.
And are abandoned. And it's just like the legacy, and so it's the same thing in the animal kingdom down there, but what we done was, in the name of what, to get 10,000 Taliban. And so it seems just, then we went into Yemen, then we went into Libya. And
got we're just about to increase our effort in Yemen to kill those.
And look at Syria,
yeah.
7 million refugees, and we knocked down every building in that country. And so to get to the same 10,000 Taliban that turned into ISIL. And then, you know, Boko Haram, 10,000 of them, and then we wrecked that whole continent. And then we had Gaza, 10,000 Hamas. But we got 5 million Palestinian refugees. No problem to keep them inside of concentration camps with German Shepherd dogs and Israelis on the outside of it.
Exactly.
No problem at all to keep those 5 million people at bay, but can't get hold of 10,000 Hamas. Even when you go to war against Gaza and blow up Gaza, which is just a little tiny insignificant strip really now.
That's coming this year, I think. They're going to,
I think they're going to
level it, and that'll be the end of
it. Do you know what that's all about? I can, like, here's my take on it as a Christian theology anyway, is that the Bible says the world will turn against Israel, and then God will come down, and now Israelis will have gathered up. There's a bigger story to this, obviously, where Israel gathers up back to Israel after 3,000 years or something, and then Jerusalem allegedly is their capital. But Jerusalem is important because the Bible says that only the people that are in Jerusalem will go to heaven. And so when God, the rapture comes, it's because the world turned against Israel. And so then the rapture will happen, and then God will eventually come down and destroy the whole planet, including Israel, including Jerusalem, but only the people that are in Jerusalem will go to heaven. And so that is why they're ethnically cleansing Jerusalem. And that's your Bible. That's your Christian, your Anglican, your Catholics. Hmm. And then, you know, it talks about the Muslim Mecca and everything else also in the Bible, right? And how that's your natural enemy, blah, blah, blah. And so everything is we see is the very script of the Bible itself. The whole ideology of war is based around the Christian theology Bible, the King David Bible more likely. But ultimately, the Bible calls for the destruction of the planet. Everybody must turn against Israel. That's the Bible, not me, folks. And then God will destroy the planet, and only the people, which will be, of course, Israelis, or the Jewish, will end up in heaven, allegedly, because they'll ethnically cleanse that area too, see? So
I get it. It's a comedy. I get it. No, I got it.
Right. And so the more we hate Israel, the more likely we are to fulfill the prophecy. And Israel is doing everything in the book to make you hate them. There's nothing they do that is not designed to make you hate them. They're the fourth biggest weapons producer on the planet. They infiltrated and taken over all the industries, all your money, your music.
They have absolutely no concern. Nothing holds them back. Nothing. No boundaries.
No, it's a script, right? They're put into these places. You don't have to be educated or smart, even though they're educated. But who knows about that part? But they're never functional, and their function is always to mongrelize whatever they touch in those industries. And then it's so tainted, it's just they all have the same ideology, so you're reading the same book everywhere you go. You just get bored of it, basically, is a better way to look at it. And so my concern, obviously, is that you know, what they're doing to Palestine right now, where they're crunching them into this little tiny spots, tiny and tiny, always. It's like you're poking, you put them in a cage and you're just poking with a stick every day, poking with a stick every day, and everybody's watching, boy and boy, everybody's going to snap. And that's the Bible for you. That's where we're all headed for. And I just think it's wrong. You know, I think, like, and that's why no one cares about Fukushima, because they're too busy focusing in on end times and blaming it on this and blaming it on that. When, if you look at what the Bible talks about, it's basically all down to that prophecy, the world will turn against Israel, God will come down and destroy the world, and only the people in Jerusalem will go to heaven.
Well, God didn't know about nuclear power back then, did he?
And, of course, if you look at the plumes that came into North America, there's not going to be much resistance in the near future to any of those ideologies. And then you got Benjamin Netanyahu. This is his fifth term or something.
Who's counting? So much fun.
Yeah, right. And so how is that even structurally sensible to do that to your country? And it's just such a crime to really keep 5 million people for 61 years in refugee camps and then whine and complain that it's anti-Semitic because they're such great and morally ethical people.
Right.
It's ludicrous when you got 5 million refugees to have that beautiful community, stole it from people, barbarized them, destroyed them for six generations, so to speak. No. And so, you know, the nuclear, no one's going to try to fix it. We have to fight for it. No one's going to try to solve it. We have to fight for that. They're only sending in the homeless to shut everybody else up and keep the fable alive.
Sure.
Right? They're going to pull the trigger on Gaza when they finally do that. That will single end times. That's what that's about. Gaza is end times. When they finally take out the rest of the Palestinian, the whole world will turn on Israel. We see that going now. all kinds of countries ready to drop the hammer on Israel. All the weight now finally coming down on their shoulder. The world is coming to an end because of Fukushima, the Pacific Ocean, the Doya. If not, it's going to be Trump and Russia, one way or another, or North Korea. And so, you know, when we see the Israeli involvement in the 1950s with that, how that played out and why we're still in, they're still in that position, how that is used always as, I mean, they're right behind Japan. They're being polluted beyond imagination, right? What's happening to those countries right there is shocking. But China's full of nuclear reactors, and they have a one-child policy since 1978, was it? I think it wasn't fully enforced.
Yeah, they just reversed it.
Right. Yeah, I was watching a video this morning of women, girls who were abandoned because of it. And then they went looking for their kin, for their family, right? And so it was really striking, though, like the reactions of where they had no choice, right? They had too many children. They had an extra child. And they were terrified. They were terrified. And they abandoned the child because they wanted to be able to save the other kids. They were absolutely terrified of the Chinese government. Because this communist one-party regime, you know, what it's doing to Falun Gong members, right, where it takes them on a bus. This is a Canadian diplomats, and this is a big research project, looked at that and showed that they were taking people to the airport in these special buses with operating teams and removing the organs right there and putting it on a plane and shipping it to other countries. And so it was just
big business.
This is not the way the world was supposed to go.
No, it's just going, right? In fact, it's going the opposite way. Yeah.
It went this way because there was no checks and balances and no one to hold anybody accountable. And then just evil took over. All of this is because we never hold them accountable. We were incapable of it through the systems that we have. And Jeff, as you know now, right, that the nuclear industry is outlawing in every facet and aspect. And then every other industry is doing the exact same thing. And it gets to the point now where I don't have a journalist I can go to in the mainstream media. I don't have a single university I can put my faith into. I don't know of a single government entity that I could turn to. And I'm not making that up. I'm in shock because of it. I'm in absolute horror and dismay because of that. Because there truly is nobody out there we can turn to. We don't have a single source in the media or the universities or the government.
There really is no one we can turn to. We can't turn to our government.
Right.
We can't turn to the media. We can't turn to our universities, our institutions of science and higher learning. We can't turn to civil defense, public event, EPA. We can't turn to them. They will not tell us the truth.
That's right. And not only that, they'll attack us relentlessly. Look, we can show... If I go on a video doing something illegal and the police see it, they come arrest you. You got all the evidence you want, man, right there. Here we go. And they do it all the time. And it's usually the stupidest, mind-numbingest stuff imaginable. But yet, these people that are committing real crimes that we've exposed over and over, it would be easy to take that documentation and go convict those people. Not a chance. Right? They'll implement Operation Protect the Snitch, and they'll come after us. The legitimate, good-souled people that are trying to do the moral and ethical thing. So, like, it's that double standard has divided everything, and I don't know if there's a way back from it. And it's not supposed to be like this. It was never supposed to be like this. No Bill of Rights, no constitutions, no Magna Cartas were designed for this to happen to us. They were all designed to protect us from that exact thing that's happening to us right now.
Mm-hmm.
Including the Bible was designed to protect us from this very same thing. And so, you know, we become so complacent because of TV and Hollywood, magazines.
Well, it's all by design.
Bling, bling, and and flash, and then the proper sneakers, and the right purse, and the Gucci glasses.
I just looked at a pair of sneakers online, $359.
Yeah.
Do you believe this?
No. But it's true. I know. I know people that buy that stuff. And they wouldn't be seen outdoors without it on, you know? And they take such good care of it. They'll go home and they'll literally wrap it in a clean piece of paper that doesn't stain or something.
Carefully wipe the sides down if they're white soles.
When they come in, they get home. And the dog will be there, like, dying of thirst, or the cat's there trying to get into the back window. They're like, hang on, honey, I'm almost ready. And they're just, right?
These people are all wearing their identities. They're wearing their egos. They're wearing who they are with tattoos, self-mutilation.
They don't know what they're doing.
No.
They don't even understand.
No, they're lost.
Yeah.
Lost.
They don't even, they just know that that's so important. They got to get that right. And
yes.
That's what we're looking at all day.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. All right. Well, let me ask all of you again to please go up and read the second. If you did, don't buy it, just go read it. The second banner at the top of the homepage. Understand what BioSuperfood is, why it was developed, the brilliance that went into it. It's the only thing out there that will mitigate the compounding of low doses of exposure and even higher doses of radiation or radioactivity. And this stuff is coming over all the time. It's, I can use this word, it's never going to stop. They have no means, they have no technology, they have no ideas on how to go after it. They can't do it. It's melting down toward the center of the Earth. They don't know where it is. And the rest of it was blown up in nanoparticles into the atmosphere.
We took a bunch of creatures that got digits and we put them in charge, and they're the wrong people. That's the whole problem. We got the wrong people who don't know anything and are not interested in trying to solve it, or have no intentions of trying.
That's absolutely the truth.
That's a fact. Yeah.
It's a fact. Dana, thank
people
you.
People are out there. Okay, hugs everybody.
All
thank
right.
you, Jeff.
You bet. Take care.
Yeah, you too.
Okay. I wish I had some good news. Well, get Jim Mars back on here and have some fun. Yeah, one night I'm just going to play music for an hour, I think. Music from another age, another epoch. Tomorrow night. Well, this will be interesting. Terrible Tim is coming on tomorrow night. And I don't know if you saw the story about Brad Pitt. He finally came out of his... basically been hiding away in some Hollywood art studio or something. And after Angelina Jolie dumped him, and there's a lot of weird stuff going on here. I'll let Tim do the explanation of it, but tomorrow night Tim's going to talk about that. George Filer will be here, David John Oates with Reverse Speech, and we'll have a lot of fun. So talk to you then. Take care.